Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
If that line forms on the right, babe. Not that Maggie.
Mick Monagle here with you on Reaction Monday. Finally, it's over. We don't have to do this anymore with these two miserable teams. And I guess I'm the sicko because I want everybody back. I want everybody involved in all this crap that we've had to deal with for the last year. I want them all back. What an idiot. Well, that was it. I got you for 3 hours until 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. We got Rami on the other side. And we'll start with the Giants a little bit, as obviously yesterday put a culmination on the season, a miserable season for everyone involved, right? I mean, Rami texted me today, we were talking a little bit about the show, and it was just like, well, you know, Giants are awful. They got the third pick in a two-quarterback draft when they need it. The Jets, probably with the firing of Mayo in New England, lose the coach that they hoped to get to, and we'll get to all that. You get the 500 touchdown of Aaron Rodgers, but ultimately, just an ugly, miserable season. And for the New York Giants in particular, because I think that's more of the, you know, we know the coaching search and the GM search the Jets are going through, and we'll get to Aaron Rodgers and everything else, 888-808-1019. But with the New York Giants right now, the decision's on the table, and they're going to have to make one. And to me, and I think to most people, no matter what you think should happen, like, when you listen to Schefter talk about how he feels that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane are safe, we've gotten this feeling that certainly Joe Shane has been safe for a while now, and John Mara doesn't have the stomach, doesn't have the interest in starting over again. And then even Glazer this morning tells you he believes Brian Daboll is safe, and then you watch the game. And if I didn't hear from Schefter, and I didn't hear from Glazer, and I suppose there's still questions to be made, and I was, you know, it's still up in the air, I suppose, but I watched that football game, and I saw a coach completely different than the coach we saw last week against the Indianapolis Colts. Completely different. Whether it was how he handled fourth down, the shuffling in and out of players, having, you know, the best offensive weapon, their only offensive weapon, who broke the Giants' rookie record for receptions. I mean, you got an absolute stud in Malik Nabers with a chance to win the game in the final drive, and he's not there for third and fourth. Like, he's not. They took him out after he got the game-breaking, the record-breaking reception. He's out for a long stretch in the second half. Then he comes back once they're down two touchdowns. Like, it just felt like this game was treated as, honestly, every game down the stretch should have been treated, and clearly this coach was not coaching for his job the way it felt against Indianapolis at home, and that tells me some stuff that just drives me nuts, that this owner, John Mara, cared, and I understand why he does, and I understand, you know, you want to win in your building, but the 0-9 and the only team to lose every home game was something that actually was over this coach, and once he got that, now it feels like he's safe. And as to whether or not, what's more important, a possibility of getting the first overall pick, even if you don't like the quarterbacks, having that first pick is so valuable against winning at home. But you watch this game, it was completely different. It was handled completely different than the game against the Colts. The game against the Colts, they're going down the field. They're attacking. They're obviously trying to win the football game. Like, this game was, I mean, it started with the 4th and 7 at the 50-yard line. Like, everything about this game was handled completely different. They played a Zudu at guard after they've been telling us forever that he's a tackle, not a guard. Like, they did things that honestly make no freaking sense. They had their best players off the field in the most critical moments. Like, this game was handled completely different. So whatever you think, and we'll get into whether they should or not, you know my reasoning. And we're going to get into it with their third pick in the draft right here at 888-808-1019. But whatever you think should happen, I am telling you. They're going to have a meeting. They're going to talk. He's going to have to come up. You know, the reports were earlier in the week that he's putting together some sort of plan to talk to the Maras and convince them why he should be the guy moving forward and what happened. And, like, the meeting, he was told. Like, there is no doubt in my mind. They're coming back. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, for better or worse, and I know many of you think it's for the worse, they are coming back. It's locked and loaded. A coach who thinks he has to defend himself the next morning. Think about that. You're telling me this is a coach who the next day is going to have to go and defend his life and defend his job, and that's what he gives you? The last thing you see is him not caring about the football game? The last thing you see is Malik Nabers not on the field with a possibility to tie the game? That's the last thing you see? Jalen Hyatt out there is the last thing that coach wants to show the owner when he's got a meeting on Monday to defend his job? An owner who promised you that he would never tank? An owner who cares desperately about making sure they're not the first winless 0-9 home team in the history of football in the 100th year of Giants football? There is no way in hell Brian Daboll's coaching that game unless he had some sort of confidence that he was coming back. So we could talk about what Glazer had to say, what anybody else had to say. I watched the football game. The football game told me the coach is coming back. They handled this like they didn't want to draft 8th or 9th. They handled this like they recognized they want to have a top pick still. And if the owner would have given them this vote of confidence before the home game last week against the Colts, or if you would have had a better indication of his job status before the Colt game, if it didn't mean everything to this owner to not go winless at home, you would imagine the Colt game would have been handled the same, but it wasn't. And that's the proof that he's coming back. Because there was a coach last week who felt like he needed to win, and there was a coach this week who felt like he didn't need to win. And now they've got the third pick in the draft, and make no mistake about it. This is, I don't care. Listen, first of all of you are going to call me up at 888-808-1019, and you're all going to tell me this quarterback's not good enough for this, and that quarterback's not good enough for that, and you watch them every week, and you know Sanders is a bum, and Ward's not good enough, and they're better off just taking Hunter. They're better off just moving on, maybe even trading back. You know. None of you know. I feel like Brad Pitt in Moneyball. You talk like you know. You don't. You don't know. You watch your football games on Saturday, your college football, you think you're an expert, you watch these quarterbacks, and you think you know. Here's what I can tell you. Here's what I know. The New York Giants need a freaking quarterback. That's what I know. And whether or not you can blame every aspect of this miserable season and the last two miserable seasons strictly on the idea that the Giants don't have a quarterback, yeah, that's probably not fair. There's a lot that Brian Daboll has to answer for. And that's my point on the whole thing. If you are going to keep Joe Shane, who's had two bad drafts and one good one, if you are going to keep Brian Daboll as the head coach, who's had now two of the ugliest seasons in franchise history, a coach who couldn't keep his coordinator, a coach who, the stories after the season last year of, you know, screaming at everybody, giving the play calling to Kafka, taking it away, giving it back to him, taking it away, the losing, the ugly play, even in this game, You got the penalties at the end of the game. I don't think he purposely put those in, but you got Basham going off sides. You got the roughing the passer. I mean, those sealed the loss. On a play where everybody knows they're trying to get you off sides, there's Basham jumping off sides. Like, it's hard. It is difficult. It is not easy for me to turn on this microphone at 2 o'clock in the morning and extol the virtues of Brian Daboll. It's very difficult over the last 2 years and this season, what you've seen. So if John Mara, if the Tisch family, if everybody else involved is going to bring him back, and for me, it's a done deal. We'll find out Monday. We'll find out Tuesday. Maybe I'm wrong. Hell, I thought there was no chance. I thought they were never going to fire Joe Judge. I've been wrong before. But watching that game, hearing from Glazer, hearing from Schefter, all of them, both of them, told you they think he's safe, and then I watched him coach the game. There is no way that's a coach coaching for his job. So if we're assuming that Shane and Daboll are coming back, and I do believe it's a very fair assumption, what the hell is Brian Daboll going to be here for if not to develop a quarterback? I continue to scream it. I'll continue to say it. I don't know why else you would justify bringing him back. And if you do it, if you bring him back, it's to develop the young quarterback and you give him years. I keep hearing everybody, like a Pete, I know Evan said it, a bunch of people hit me up on Twitter. Oh, great. You get the young quarterback, you lose anyway because the schedule's tough at home next year. You're not going to be a good football team. And then you fire the coach year one into the... No, no. Believe it or not, they're here for a while. If they get the young quarterback, they are here to develop the young quarterback. This owner knows exactly what happens when you change coaches on a young quarterback. He blames himself for what happened to Daniel Jones. He told you when he hired them that they did everything to ruin him with the number of offensive coordinators and the number of head coaches. If you allow these guys to stay and you allow them to draft a quarterback, then they're here for the next 2 years for sure, possibly three. That's what you're buying into. That's what Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be given. Either fire them tomorrow morning or you give them the next 2 or 3 years. Because I'm sorry, at the third draft pick, yes, this is a two-quarterback draft. Things change in the draft immensely from between now. So much happens between now and the draft in April. So much happens. And we will hear quarterbacks get brought up. We will hear quarterbacks fall. You know, already reports now. I saw them today. People were sending them to me. You know, top scouts in the NFL don't have Sanders or Ward anywhere near a first-round grade. Okay. You know how many quarterbacks I've seen get first-round grades that are awful and vice versa? If the New York Giants believe in a quarterback at number three, now, obviously, Tennessee gets the first pick. Cleveland gets the second pick. I would imagine Cleveland's going to look. I would think for sure Tennessee's taking a quarterback, and you probably can't even convince them to move up. That's the other, you know, the Patriot victory kind of hurt the Jets and the Giants possibly, because even if they are number three as opposed to number four, even though the Patriots winning move them up a pick, you could argue the Patriots being at number one, clearly not needing a quarterback, might have benefited the New York Giants because a move up to number one or a move up to a position to grab one of these two quarterbacks for sure seems less likely now with two teams in front of them who need quarterbacks. That was part of the, don't worry, there's still a pathway to get a young quarterback as long as the New England Patriots, who clearly have Drake May and don't need a young quarterback, as long as they're in one of the first two positions, they'll be looking to move back. Well, now they're not. And there are two teams in front of them who need quarterbacks. Cleveland's in a very weird situation with Watson and the contract, but I would still imagine when you're at the top of the draft, unless they're trying to get back some of the draft picks they used to trade them and they want some kind of crazy haul, which I don't know if you get moving back one pick. And I don't love the idea of trading all this draft equity to move up and take one of these two quarterbacks. I don't. But the New York Giants need a quarterback. I am so tired. I understand that you don't want to reach for a quarterback. They're at the top of the draft. You're not moving up from 20th to the, like, you have to take the young quarterback. I talked about it all last week. If they were going to fall back and win this game, then it became increasingly difficult. But at three, whether one of those two players fall back to them at three, whether another quarterback, whether it's Dart, who's the sexy name right now, whoever else is going to make their way up after, you know, the pro days and after the combine and after the meetings with the teams. You know, J.J. McCarthy at the end of, at this point last year, was not someone considered to be a first round pick, let alone the sexy name that people thought might go in the top of the draft by the time the draft came around. The New York Giants need a quarterback, plain and simple. And like, and all the narratives around it don't make sense to me. Like the negatives about it, like, oh, well, you need a good team. Right? You need the roster's not good enough to support a young quarterback. What about the New York Giants is unable to support a young quarterback exactly? Because at this point last year, would you have told me that the Washington Commanders were a good enough roster to give a quarterback to and then go win 12 games and be playing on Saturday night in wild card weekend? Because I don't think you would have. The New York Giants have a stud wide receiver. They have a Pro Bowl left tackle. They have an all-pro defensive tackle. They've got a young draft class of last year with a bunch of defensive backs. They're a young team. And, you know, of course, they have cap money now to go out and spend free agency at the offensive line positions. Like, there is no reason. They have a head coach who clearly has done this before. Like, there is no reason a young quarterback can't come into the New York Giants and be successful. The Giants are not in some ridiculously bad place that they cannot support a young quarterback. Because they failed in the past doesn't mean they failed now. And I'm looking at, like, the Denver Broncos were able to do it. They have a solid defense, but I don't think anybody thought that roster was good enough to be a playoff team in the AFC West. The Texans were able to do it. The Washington Commanders were able to do it. You're saying the Texans and the Washington Commanders were in a better position to support a young quarterback than the New York Giants are now? Phooey! When you are drafting third in the draft, when you have failed for years, when you have had nothing but losing for a decade now, and the quarterback play has been some of the worst in the NFL, and the quarterback room this year was the worst in the NFL. At number three, in a two-quarterback draft, the New York Giants have to find a way to draft a quarterback. And especially if Shane and Dable are coming back, and everything we have seen indicates that they are. So, it is the end of a miserable season. We'll get into whether the Jets should bring back Aaron Rodgers. You know my opinion on that after his impressive day. Rami was just giving me a couple of stats to make it even more impressive. But, I mean, a solid performance from Aaron Rodgers, a four-touchdown performance in what felt like the end of his tenure. There was definitely a feeling of goodbye, but we'll get to that as well at 888-808-1019. But the New York Giants are still in a position, as bad as it was this year, all of the losing, they have put themselves with the third pick in a position to try and get a quarterback. And I'm sorry, I don't know if it takes trades. I don't know if the New York Giants believe in any of these quarterbacks, they have to find a way to get them. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock. We'll come back, take your phone calls. We'll get into what felt like the goodbye of Aaron Rodgers, at least with the New York Jets, as he will take a break. You know, not like he had any recently. It's not like he had a trip to Egypt or ayahuasca retreat last year. Now he needs the break to consider what's going on with the New York Jets. And as ugly as this season was, and it's finally over and we'll get ready for playoff football, we saw a blowout and a statement from the Lions last night, a couple other things around the league to get into all the way to 5 o'clock. But as we finally say goodbye to this hideous football season here in New York, we'll get into the coaching situation for the Jets and Vrabel and Patriots and everything that went down. But as we finally say goodbye, the New York Jets are hoping to change their team with a new GM and head coach. We'll find out about Aaron Rodgers, but the New York Giants are running it back with two failed men here as coach and GM over the last 2 years. And the only way to save it is to get a quarterback. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the fan. We'll come back with your calls next.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 2:26. McMonagle here with you on another miserable Monday, but they're over. They're over. I've never been so happy to say goodbye to an NFL season. I'm not kidding. It's just been these last 2 years for both teams. Worse for the Jets, no doubt. And we'll get to the Jets in a little bit. But both of these teams. I mean, if you think of the last year was supposed to be. Like, do you remember what last year was supposed to be? Giants coming off a playoff win. Jets just got Aaron Rodgers. Like, it was going to be, it was the most hyped, most excited, most anticipated NFL season around these parts in a long time. And it has completely, I mean, just completely imploded. Obviously, Rodgers the first year, and then what happened this year and firing of Saleh, which clearly, I mean, you listen to Breece Hall had things to say about it. Like, firing the coach was a disastrous decision. I mean, just one of a million by Woody Johnson. But just, I mean, I don't know if they were a playoff team. I don't know if they were a real threat to contend in the playoffs. But they weren't a five-win team if they would have kept Robert Saleh. But, I mean, these 2 years, the coach of the year. Brian Daboll was coach of the year. And now I suggest that he should come back and that he is coming back. And I think most fans are like, how could you? Like, he won coach of the year in a road playoff game with Daniel Jones. And 2 years later, it's like, get him the hell out of here. What happened in these 2 years? What the hell happened? And that's why you need a rebirth. It's funny because I think even though I want Aaron Rodgers coming back and I want Shane and Dable coming back, I think you could still get a quote-unquote rebirth with both teams. If you get a quarterback, it's a rebirth. It's a new rebuild. It's the excitement of having a young quarterback. It's the promise, the hope of having a young quarterback. And that's the other thing about the quarterback situation. Like, it sets you back. Okay, it does. You know, drafting the wrong quarterback will set you back. Absolutely. So will, you know, has drafting Evan Neal set the Giants back? I would say so. Like, whoever they pick third, if he's not good, it's a setback. The only difference is if you draft another position and they are good, it won't impact winning the same way it will if you get the quarterback right. Plain and simple. At the top of the draft, man, it's about changing your franchise. How great is Malik Nabers? Breaks the all-time rookie reception record. He has another great touchdown on the sidelines and switching the ball into his left hand so he can get into the end zone after what he did against the Colts. Like, I mean, he is an absolute stud. He is a great player, and he's been great. A couple of drops, you know, that hurt them and hurt him this year, but and he missed a couple of games. But, I mean, he is an absolute, you can't have a better rookie season. For a wide receiver with no quarterback, that's as good a rookie season as I could have imagined with this quarterback room for that player. He's great. They won 3 games. He's great. They won 3 games. Saquon Barkley, unbelievable talent. What a great rookie year. You know, he had some injuries with the Giants, but clearly just an immense talent. Look at him. He's phenomenal. He rushed for 2,000 yards this year. He's incredible. They absolutely got a tremendous player. They were miserable. Andrew Thomas, great player. Has had some injury issues these last 2 years. But, I mean, a Pro Bowl left tackle. A guy you can build your entire offensive line around. Great pick by Gettleman. It hasn't brought winning. It hasn't even brought better offensive line play. Dexter Lawrence has emerged as arguably the best interior defensive lineman in the sport. As far when it comes to, you know, getting after the quarterback now and creating pass pressure, there's not a better one in the league. He's a mountain of a man. He's impossible to move, and now he's getting after the quarterback better than anybody else at that position. He is an absolute stud. The defense sucks. So, yes, drafting a poor quarterback will set you back. Drafting anyone number three that isn't good will set you back. The difference is if you're right. If you're right. If you're right with a wide receiver, great. He's a great player. They won three games with him being great. If you draft a quarterback and he's great, you're not winning three games. You're winning 12 games and getting ready for a Sunday night, a wild card playoff game like the Washington Commanders. That's the difference. If you draft the quarterback and you're right, it changes your franchise. You have to take the idea is not to be drafting third every year. You've got a coach who only deserves to be back if he's doing it. Like, it just, they have to find the young quarterback. Hell, listen, if you think he's in later in the draft, trade down and take him later. I don't care. That seems like a smart move, right? I don't pretend to know who the great quarterbacks are. We might think we know. We don't. We can read stuff. We can listen to stuff. We can have our opinions. We don't know. I thought Sam Darnold was the best quarterback coming out of that draft class. I wasn't sure about Lamar Jackson as a quarterback. I think that was pretty much the perception up and down the league. Up and down the league by all analysts, by most fans. We don't know. Sanders might be an MVP in 3 years. Ward might be an MVP in 3 years. Who knows? It all comes down to what Brian Daboll and Joe Shane believe. And if they believe in a quarterback, you have to get him. You have to get him. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jose in Newburgh. What's up, Jose?
Hey, what's up? I'm like you. I'm thankful this season is over. I can't believe I just said that. This is insane. I don't want us to try to panic and reach out for these guys and trade away stock, you know, being that these guys aren't as sure things as, you know, the past, where there was a Tua or the kid from Jacksonville.
Tua's not a sure thing.
Well, as far as where people, you know, they in college coming up, they were highly touted.
Yeah. Like,
these guys were it, you know? And
yes.
Tua's a good quarterback, you know?
Yeah.
Just as far as they're highly touted. These guys, you know, these guys aren't seen as, these two top guys aren't seen as a sure thing. I don't know about college football, but, you know, I'm just worried that we're gonna be scared and make a move and it's going to cost us. I wouldn't mind, if they don't fall to us, I wouldn't mind trading back. You know, if maybe there's another guy that they're going to, you know, there's always another guy they're going to hype up.
Yeah.
And he's the next great one. And, you know, maybe, you know, we look at that. I just want to be careful here because
I don't want to be careful. I want to be bold.
No, I know, but
I want to be bold. I don't want to be careful. Why the hell would I bring back Joe Shane and Brian Daboll and be careful? They're not good enough to take a careful, I want to be bold. I want to be bold. If the Giants believe that Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is the answer, then I would absolutely trade up to get him. 100% without question. If they believe that, if I'm allowing them to come back, and again, this is all under the premise that they are coming back, but we don't know that for sure. It hasn't been announced. I believe they're coming back. They were given a vote of confidence midseason. Everyone is telling you Joe Shane for certain is coming back. And then even Schefter and Glazer today told you they believe he's that Brian Daboll's coming back. And then I watched the game. Like, he coached as if the game didn't freaking matter. I loved every second of it. I think they would be in such of a worse position right now if they won that meaningless game. But that's how he treated it. From the fourth downs to the way he handled substitutions in this game, taking Malik Nabers off the field at times, like they never attacked down the field. Like, it was, you could just tell they didn't care about winning the football game, nor should they have. But so if you're going to bring him back, be bold. Be bold. And let's not act like the Giants have been bold. All right, yeah, I mean, Dave Gettleman fell in full bloom love with Daniel Jones. He was wrong. He was wrong. But it's not like the Giants have been out there. Like, when was the last time they were bold and moved up from 4-1? They drafted Eli Manning, or they, you know, traded for Eli Manning. Go out there and be bold. Now, again, if they don't love the player, then sit back at 3 and see who falls. Or if you love, you know, a Milroe and you think you can get him late, or Dart and you think you can get him later, or, and I'll tell you the truth right now, I wouldn't even mess around. I don't care. If I love, like, if I think, like, Dart or one of these other quarterbacks is the guy, take him 3. I'm not messing around. I'm getting the quarterback. If they believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. You have to be bold. You have to go out there and make the move. Now, I don't want to do it if they don't agree, but at the same time, I'd rather take the chance when you're top of the draft. And because let's be totally honest right now. Don't you wish, honestly, Giant fans, ask yourself, don't you wish they were bold last year and made this decision? Because as great as Malik Nabers is, and he's great, Michael Penix looks like a quarterback. Bo Nix sure as hell looks like a quarterback. Wouldn't the Giants be better off if one of those two guys was the starting quarterback for the team right now? All right, maybe they're not a playoff team like Denver. That's fine. I don't know if they would be. Maybe they wouldn't be. But they would, and you know, oh, Sean Payton's the head coach. Well, Brian Daboll's here to be that guy to help the young quarterback. It's what he was brought here for.
If the argument is that, well, Sean Payton's the head coach here, then fire Daboll today. Because then you don't believe that
right,
Daboll
exactly.
can ever be
right.
a Sean Payton.
I completely agree. I understand that Sean Payton happens to be one of the more, you know, great offensive minds of the last 20 years or so. But, yeah. If you don't think Brian Daboll, if you think that Bo Nix is only good because of the coaching, or like, and that's, like, it's also unfair because you'll hear, well, I mean, what other quarterback did he, okay, so he helped with Josh Allen, but Josh Allen's great. He failed with Daniel Jones, he failed with Drew Locke, he failed with, like, okay, so when the quarterback fails, the coach wasn't good enough to help them succeed. When the quarterback succeeds, well, the quarterback was great anyway. Then no coaching ever helped anybody. Or in 2 years, if Bo Nix turns out to be a great NFL quarterback, are we going to say, well, it really wasn't Sean Payton. Bo Nix just was great. He got lucky. You don't think, you know, Cliff Kingsbury has had anything to do with Jaden Daniels' success? That's the difference. The Washington Commanders were in the same boat as the New York Giants for the last decade. Same boat. In fact, worse. Right? They had the worst owner in the sport, arguably. They were a losing franchise. Hell, even Daniel Jones and the lousy Giants over the last 5 or 6 years have always found a way to beat the Washington team at least once. They drafted the quarterback and they won 12 games. 12 games. I mean, if you get that position right, it changes your team. You draft the right wide receiver, he's a nice player. You draft the right running back, he's a great talent. You draft the right left tackle, sure, that's an important position. I want to be bold and try and turn this franchise around. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stu?
After all this time, Chris, the season is finally over.
Yes.
So why couldn't they do that, what they did yesterday, last week?
Yeah, it's very I haven't harped on it because I yelled for a full week about winning that Colts game. I don't want to continue to do that, but you're right.
No, I'm just
watching
saying,
the way they handled this game and the fact that they didn't handle that game the same way pisses me off.
So important to win a home game during this season. It wouldn't have mattered. They could have had the number one pick.
Yep.
And they could have had their pick, Ward or Shador. And the thing
completely
is,
agree
what,
with you.
What was that? And now you're going to say you're going to bring them. How do you feel about bringing both of them back?
I don't love it. They haven't been like good enough to like be excited to have them back. And listen, this isn't necessarily the best answer, but I don't trust John Mara to make another good hire. I think Joe Shane had as people keep asking, what have they done to earn their job? Joe Shane had a very good draft last year. That's it. That's all you can say, really. That's all you can say. The two things that you could say for Joe Shane, and the second one is a stretch, but the first one is he had a good draft last year. The other one is that in a very difficult position where in many ways he was forced to give Daniel Jones a contract, he did give him a contract where there was a way out after 2 years. Like, that's it. And that's a stretch. I mean, I am bending over backwards to try and make that a plausible argument for Joe Shane. That in after that playoff win, they had no choice but to pay Daniel Jones, but he found a way to make it only a two-year contract. Like, that's it. So I understand anybody who wants them all fired. I get it. They have not done anything, but I don't trust, especially when there's not a lot of great coaching candidates out there. There's a million jobs. Like, I just don't know who would be better. And I still believe in getting the young quarterback. And I don't know if there's a better answer out there to develop that young quarterback than Brian Daboll. Like that it's not a great vote of confidence. I'm not telling you, hey, look, no, but Daboll did a great job. I don't think he did. And I certainly can't tell you Joe Shane's done a great job. I'm going strictly on two things. Last year's draft class was good. You know, maybe, you know, and a lot of people will tell you can kind of like, not throw away, but you can forgive the first time a general manager has a draft. Like his first draft, he gets thrusted into it. It's his first time with the experience. They had two first-round picks. They I wouldn't say whiffed on Kayvon Thibodeau, but he has not proven to be a player worthy of that pick. I don't know if bust is the right word, but he's certainly not worthy of being that level of pick. Evan Neal's a flat-out bust. You can't have a worse bust. Absolute failure. Hyatt, terrible pick in the third round. Like there's a lot of missteps. But last year's draft class was good, and if you're going to get a young quarterback, which I think this team needs, I don't see another coach out there, or certainly one that I could trust John Mara to go hire, that would give me a better chance of developing the young quarterback. Because to me, that's why he was brought here, sometimes I stop myself, because he was brought here to win football games and be the head coach of the team. What made him a candidate to be brought here? What made his name the sexy name to bring in? And make no mistake, it was the name everybody wanted. And then he had a great first year. But he became a coaching candidate because of what he did with Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. That's what made him a candidate. So, like, let him do what he's good at. Let him do what he thrived at. Let him do what got him this job. Because if you're going to draft a quarterback and you bring in someone else, like, it seems like a waste. Kelvin in Bergen County. What's up, Kelvin?
What's going on, C-Mac? How's everything?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. So I'm with you. I would definitely get to take a quarterback. But I have a question for you.
Yes.
If both Cam and Shador are gone.
Yes.
And Hunter's there at three, you got to take Hunter.
If they're unable to make the trade up because both teams, Tennessee and Cleveland, just want to draft the quarterback and will not move back. They want to take their franchise quarterback, and you're sitting there at three with those two quarterbacks off the board. Is everything all right over there? What's going on?
Oh, sorry. This is my dog crying.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah. That's all right. Just, he's got a high-pitched cry. I didn't know what that was.
Yeah.
I thought you, I just, I, you know, I thought you were like, you know, it doesn't matter. I had something with a rubber ducky, but I'm going to let it go. But, and thanks for the call, Kelvin. Can you, listen, Hunter's a great player, right? And then I vision him more as a long-term cornerback than I do wide receiver. I me and Keith were talking about this last week. I could see him as a cornerback with gadget plays, and you know he takes, I don't know, 10 to 15 snaps a game as an offensive weapon. He's obviously a great player. He's obviously as talented as there is coming out of this draft, and it's a player that is tough to pass on, no doubt. I want the young quarterback. So my answer to it right now, without, you know, and maybe I'm being reactionary to the season. Let me get closer to the draft, more evaluation. I'll start doing more prep on it and think about it. We'll see as these quarterbacks rise up. But for me right now, I am in drafting, figure out a way to draft a young quarterback. Now, it depends on how Shane and Dable feel about the quarterback position. But like, if I have a meeting with Joe Shane and Brian Dable on Monday, today now, and I tell them, explain to me why you should be back, and like the or what's going on with the draft, how do we feel about the quarterback position, and they tell me, listen, I don't like any of the quarterbacks. I don't think any of the quarterbacks are worthy of the third pick. I think we should either try and move down, or if we are lucky enough to get Hunter there, that's what I would do. Well, then what the hell do I need them for? Like, I know that's like a, like, but it's just, in my mind, all right, if you're just going to play this straightforward and say, well, I'll take the best athlete available of three, well, what's going to change? What quarterback are they bringing in here? How is this offense going to look any better? What are they going to do? Going to be spinning their wheels. And then if they have the losing season, which next year looks like is going to be, then they're going to get fired. So just fire them now. Like, if they have a 5-win season next year without the young quarterback in the room, there's no way they save their jobs. And we'll see what the roster looks like next year. And year to year, anything could change. And maybe they get a veteran quarterback who plays well, and Brian Dable can muster up enough offense to win 8-9 games. I don't know. But, like, then where are they with the quarterback position? Then in all these years of, oh, well, you know, we'll suck for, you know, we'll try and get Manning. Oh. Like, even if he comes out next year, what position will the Giants be in next year if they don't have the young quarterback? And for me, it's hard to see and envision a place where this regime is going to continue to keep their jobs after next year without the young quarterback. So to me, it's either get the young quarterback. Like, in that meeting with them today, I would say, if I'm Joe Shane, I love these two quarterbacks. I'm getting one of them. That's it. I believe in them. I've scouted them. I've been there. I just was at the Pop-Tart Bowl, and he was incredible in the first half. Pinpoint accuracy from Cam Ward. I thought he played great in that game in the first half. I am going to figure out a way to get one of them. Or we are going to get a young franchise quarterback. I think there are several in this draft. Sitting at three, I promise you, we are getting a franchise quarterback. We are going to make this offense work. Otherwise, like, nah, I don't like any of the quarterbacks. We'll probably just take Hunter. Okay, I can get anybody to do that. Next year, Hunter's not going to turn this team into anything successful. I'm going to be a losing or middling team next year because of the home schedule. Well, I'm going to fire you next year. Why would you keep someone, set them up for failure, and then fire them next year? Like, I just don't see it. And I believe they're safe. So if they're safe, give them the young quarterback. I just don't see a better way around it.
Isn't drafting a quarterback at three that you believe, though, would be there later, the same thing they did with Daniel Jones?
Yes.
Because if the first two quarterbacks are taken,
yes,
and they truly believe in another quarterback,
yeah,
but they could get him in the second round or trade back, you know, to the bottom of the first round, then right, why not try and draft Hunter there and then trade back into the back end of the first round to get a Jalen Milroe?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the guy, well, I mean, who knows what the draft's going to look like, though? But I mean, who knows where these guys go, and I don't want to risk losing him.
Right. Usually, like, by the time the draft
that's
gets
the thing.
Here,
they all go to the top. Now, who knows? You might be right. If in a perfect world, sure. If in a perfect world, you know, Dart or Milroe or whoever they love is still going to be there at the back end of the first round because, I mean, how do they know they're the only team that loves them? I don't think anybody expected Atlanta to draft Penix where they drafted him. Like, I'd be afraid on missing out on him. So that's why, is it the same thing the Giants did with Daniel Jones? Absolutely it is. Everyone told them, or I'm sure they had discussions about, hey, we could either, you know, trade back or make this pick. And I mean, they drafted Dexter Lawrence at 15 or 16, was it that year? Like, oh, he might still be there at 15, 16. Take Josh Allen, the edge rusher, and wait for the 15th or 16th pick. You could still get Daniel Jones there. Dave Gettleman was in full bloom love. And he was wrong. He was wrong. And the problem was sticking with him for 6 years, as well as drafting him. But you got to be right. You got to be right. Totally agree. Obviously, if they draft the wrong quarterback, it hurts them. If they draft anybody that's the wrong player, it's going to hurt them. You got to be right in the first round. And quarterbacks are tricky, no doubt. What else are they going to do? Like, I don't see it. Wait for, like, how do you get the quarterback? Like, look, even at the teams now are somewhat successful. You saw Sam Darnold last night, right? You've seen now Russell Wilson hit a wall. They you know, what happened? I just referenced Atlanta. They pay all this money for Cousins. He doesn't even make the season. Like, you could bring in, what quarterback are you going to bring in? Like, Sam Darnold's had a great success. There's no doubt. They've you know, lost three games all year. Two to the Lions. But, like, do you think they're going to win the Super Bowl? You saw how he played last night against a banged-up Lions defense. It's not all his fault. They had a good scheme against them, but I don't know. Are you going to win a Super Bowl that way when you have to pay all that money to a guy? Like, they have a lot of cap space now. You're going to give it all for some average mid-level aging veteran quarterback so that you could build around him because you're not ready to make a decision on a young quarterback? Like, I don't know. When you're at the top of the draft, when you're drafting third and you don't have a quarterback, I'm a believer of that's what you have to do. Plain and simple.
I forget who says it. There's somebody who says the only way to get the quarterback right is to keep drafting him.
That's it. It's a crapshoot. You got to play the game as much as possible. And I'll tell you the truth. Like, I'll do the same thing. We saw the Cardinals do it. If they draft Sanders or Ward and they play him for a year and he's god-awful and they're sitting there with the top pick next year and there's a great quarterback, draft him.
Like, I thought about that with the Patriots. Like, yeah. Are you sure they wouldn't have moved on from Drake May after 1 year?
Right. I agreed. Like, if they were the first pick and Drake May wasn't good, draft another quarterback.
Or even what, you know, the season they got from him, which was up and down.
Right.
And if they lost today, they would have been the first pick.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Could you theoretically move on from him and take the other quarterback, another in this draft? Sure.
And you reset the clock that way, too.
Yep.
It's part of it, too.
You get an extra year. I totally. And you get more picks. I don't know what May would get you. Probably get you a first. He'd probably get you your first round pick. I would think. Certainly. I mean, would he get you a first round pick? I don't know. They're not going to do it anyway. But, like, yeah, absolutely. I have no problem with it. Plain and simple. If you are a franchise without a quarterback and you are drafting third, you draft a quarterback. Or you figure out a way to get one. That's my firm belief. You're at the top of the draft. You don't have a quarterback. The best way to win in this league is to have the young quarterback and put a team around him and not have to pay him. It's the quickest and easiest and best way to build a winner. That's what you do. And if it fails, move on. The Steelers moved on from Kenny Pickett. You're not locked to these players forever. You can trade, you know, and then if you're at the top of the draft again, draft another quarterback. It's the position you have to get right. And it will change your team once you get it right. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll get into Aaron Rodgers and what felt like a goodbye and why I hope it isn't. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. We'll come back after this, the update, and take your calls all the way to 5 o'clock in the warm-up show right here on The Fan.